Once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Close the wall up with our English dead. You're really loud and I'm really quiet.
Yeah, I'm really loud and you're really quiet? Okay, let's see if I can fix it.
Very strange.
All right, say something.
Something. This is the personal wealth coach, by the way. I don't know if you can hear me any better than I can.
Hang on
me.
Just a minute. I understand the nature of the problem
you've
here.
You've got the wrong microphone turned up.
It was the microphone 10 feet away from you.
I still feel like I'm a little bit faint.
Well, you know, you could put your head down between your legs.
I'm feeling a bit faint here. There. It's getting a little better.
You feel less faint now?
Less faint.
Okay, anyway, we need to start all over again.
Yes, all right. See you.
Once more into the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English. Dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, with Mad Radio. No. With the Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And our telephone number is to call in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And as a matter of disclosure, we are forced to tell you, actually I don't know if we're forced to tell you, but it's generally best practice to tell you that this radio program is the name also of a investment advisory firm,
yes.
A wealth management firm in Salado, Texas, that's also called the Personal Wealth Coach, and the fact that Jake and I, this is Jeff speaking, are also the principal advisors in that organization is absolutely not coincidental.
No, but the incidents go together, so they coincidate, but they are not coincidental.
We need to discuss this at great length,
right.
But we have a caller on 773-1400, so caller, you are on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach, I think.
Yes.
Wait a minute, I got that turned
check the
on.
The other switch over to your left.
That one's on, and
caller?
You're on the air.
Are you on the air?
Hello, caller.
Yes. Oh, well,
caller
we heard the click
up,
go
yes.
off, so this is
probably they couldn't hear us.
I can't hear us.
So if you called and you couldn't hear me saying that, call back.
We're working on the dials and knobs, which were put into the recorded playback mode, which meant everything was turned off.
I don't know. I don't half the time. I don't understand things, and the other half the time I'm confused about them.
And the third half of the time we don't know what we're talking about.
You got that. The telephone number's in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. And yeah. I still feel like my voice is a little bit
and
low.
This show is being... Okay, got to reach over here and get this. Okay, your voice is low. Raise your voice a little bit.
That is actually much better. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Squeeze something and
hear me.
Cause your voice to have a higher frequency. It will be a higher voice.
I think that might have permanent implications.
You can talk like this.
It's kind of like when the Federal Reserve makes snap decisions. You probably don't want to do that.
Federal Reserve makes snap decisions.
It doesn't happen very often.
I
got to
think about that for a while. Anyway. Let's see. There's something else that I was going to say, but I can't remember for the life of me what it was. Anyway, we are here. You are there. This is Saturday, August 16th. That's what I was going to say.
The
show is live on Saturday, August 16th. So if it's not Saturday, August 16th, then...
Live and in living color.
Well, I don't know about the...
The color on the radio may be kind of clear. You can't really... You see right through the color. It may be the color of your surroundings.
Well, we're certainly colorful at times. Now, if it's like August 17th or 15th, you can still call in. It just means you're a long ways away. But if it's like a week later or something, or it's not even August, for example, then you can call in, but it's not going to do you any good because we won't listen to you.
Well, we've had a lot of things happen this week.
We did?
Yes. It began with a Sunday. And we're already Saturday. So we've had days all the way through the week.
Yeah, but culturally, the weekend is Saturday and Sunday. That's the end of the previous week.
Well, I think Saturday maybe.
Well, no, weekend definitely includes Saturday and Sunday because I was reading the Wall Street Journal this morning. And if you also read it on Sunday morning, It is the weekend edition.
Right.
And the Wall Street Journal is the official arbiter of such things.
Well, I have a way of resolving this even further.
It is determined that the Sunday and the Saturday are both weekends.
I can resolve this.
Yes.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. There we go.
Well, so Monday is often considered the first day of the week. And Sunday
except
is considered the last day of the week,
culturally. I think that Sunday being,
as
an economics issue, you are correct. The beginning of the week is Monday, economically speaking. Culturally speaking, it depends on your culture.
Well, the culture that I'm in, which is the only one that's really, truly important to me.
Nothing like a little egocentric response
no,
there.
No, it's cultural centric. It's very important to me because I don't speak, for example, Japanese or Russian. So while what they think is the beginning or the end of the week is okay, I guess, I'm conveniently a resident and citizen of the largest socioeconomic power in the world. And so we get to dictate when the weeks begin and end. Okay?
Right. This is a nice segue, by the way.
Okay.
Well done. Russia.
Russia?
Russia. You
That's
said you don't
speak
That's
a segue to Russia?
Yes. Da.
Da. Jawohl.
No,
that's German.
German. Yeah, that's yeah. German. Yes.
Well, the Germans were talking to the Russians this week.
On Friday.
Merkel was talking to Putin specifically.
On Friday, we saw some erratic motion in our stock markets. The prices moved up and down of our stock markets.
Does that every day.
Yeah. And so on this particular day, we said that this particular single set of movements in the downward direction
yes.
were due to the Ukrainians saying that they were artillery barraging a Russian convoy of armored vehicles.
And which was stated several places as unconfirmed, even though the NATO
yeah, commander
Secretary
of the NATO
General said, yet it was there. And I saw some pictures of it that reporters took. Yeah.
General Rasmussen said, yep, it happened. The Guardian newspaper has pictures of
mm-hmm.
these armored vehicles, which are painted white.
Well, no. The ones I saw were Russian T-72 tanks.
Right. Well, yeah, that's part of the same convoy.
Oh, okay.
But they painted some of these vehicles white to make them look like they were part of a peace convoy.
Mm-hmm.
But they had guns, big ones.
No, they really were part of a we want a piece of Ukraine
piece of
convoy.
This another piece of Ukraine actually.
Yes.
We
okay.
want this piece.
We had
and
another
that piece.
Piece. Yes, we want another piece of Ukraine. It's
so
a peace convoy.
The Russians have in very normal fashion have broadcast using their bullhorns that nope, didn't happen. Nothing like that happened. Nope, not happened, even though there are pictures. The NATO force, which we are a member of, recognizes that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
The Ukrainians said it was there. The Russian rebels, the separatists,
right.
Have said that they expect the armored convoy to arrive today.
Mm.
So this is this morning that they're saying, yes, we expect them to actually show up now. So
apparently a significant portion of them, however, were polluting the environment as they burned.
Right. Well, someone needs to explain to the Russians that the Russians were involved.
Well, maybe they didn't know they were involved.
So all of this going on, let me tell you the good news.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians claimed not to be involved. That's the good news. While that seems strange.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the punchline here.
If the Russians said, yes, that's us.
That would be bad.
That would be really, really bad because that would be an admission of invasion, at which point they would just fully invade. So the fact that they said it isn't us, even though everyone knows it was them.
Well, actually, it wasn't them. It wasn't the whole Russian Empire.
Mm-mm.
It was just a column of tanks and armored personnel carriers.
Correct.
And the column of tanks and armored personnel carriers may have been a group of revolting volunteers.
Right.
Who
in
deserted
uniform.
Deserted from the Russian army and decided purely on their own they would like to go get killed in Ukraine.
While being paid by the Russian military.
Well, we don't know. We haven't seen their pay stubs. Their pay could have been cut off.
Right.
And probably was right after they died.
Yes. When they died, they no longer were paid.
So the Russians can say because they entered Ukraine. See, because they entered Ukraine, they died. And because they died, the Russians
stopped getting paid.
So you have this,
right,
this causal chain of evidence.
Therefore,
here,
they are no longer
that right.
Associated.
So the Russians cut off their pay because they entered Ukraine.
Now, this sounds like we're being flippant. We are actually being a bit flippant. The reality of the diplomatic situation, the reason why the market dropped the way it was, is because a war with Russia would result at this point
in a bigger recession.
In a bigger recession.
in Europe, yeah.
Yeah, the Europeans this last quarter had a drop in their growth rates. So negative growth happening once more. Most of the world would call that shrinkage.
Well, actually Germany wound up with a 0.1%.
Right.
But for
Germany
them,
being one of the few actually growing sectors of the whole European market.
And the Italians and the Spanish actually went back into recession.
Japan had a pretty severe contraction of 6.4% annualized in this second quarter.
Those
which
contractions
is,
have become fairly regular.
Right. I want to see what the dilation is on this particular. And that had a direct result from the new sales tax that was put into place there.
Are you trying to say that if you raise taxes on people buying things, that they will buy less things?
It's amazing. I know. It's like when you make things more expensive, people buy them less. It's just a strange concept. But yes, that's what I'm saying. So when we're looking at the world stage, there's already a lot of stuff going on out there that is teetering. The United States is the exception.
my apologies. The German Federal Statistics Office, which I'm not going to say in German.
Good. It's probably three paragraphs long and only one word.
Said the economy shrank by 0.2% between April and June.
That's what
I was actually talking about is... and they were forecasting stagnation, so they only missed it by 0.2%. But
that still qualifies, I think, as stagnation.
And the first quarter growth.
Wait a minute. What's the name of their legislative body?
The Bundestag.
Stagnation. Aha!
No.
We have it.
No. Bundestag.
Bundestag. Stag. Stagnation.
No. You get it. Bundestag. Tag is.
Tag,
by the way, is day.
Right. I understand.
It's
Guten Tag.
It literally means the day of binding.
Okay.
Which is really a silly name for.
But
we call ours Congress, which obviously is the opposite of progress.
Right. And it has something to do with egress.
Yes. It's something to do with egressing here anyway. No, it was actually German inflation fell to on an annualized basis, to 0.8%.
There you go.
That's the... the funny thing about it, the German bonds, the yield on the German bonds, dropped to the lowest since like 1923 or something like that.
This is generally a good thing.
Yeah, but it means that basically a lot of people are fleeing. And the other thing, of course, is as a result of all of the above, the American 10-year bond dropped to, I think, 2.3%.
Right.
Which is frankly, absurdly low and the opposite of what we think the long-term trend is going to be. But fundamentally, and of course, the other thing is, of course, what happened to the stock market?
Finished fundamentally.
Well, fundamentally, we're seeing a flight to security.
Right.
In the face of fear. And here's the key. The United States stock market for the week was up. And you know why? A flight to security.
There you go.
And the fact that the United States Treasury bond dropped, and believe me, compared with the Germans, our bond market is absolutely astronomically bigger than the Germans. And what's happened is there's a huge influx of money from around the world going into the United States of America right now because they're afraid. Which, by the way, for those of you who happen to be Americans who are listening to this, and I suspect that is probably the majority. Well, I don't know. If there's only two people listening.
I think it is the majority.
But both of us are Americans. I don't know.
The last that we checked.
Okay. The point is that if you want to get thankful for something, which I would highly recommend, get thankful for the fact that you live in the United States of America, and we have these huge moats on either side of us, and we have countries that are more or less not just nominally, but pretty seriously allied with us on the north and south boundaries. We may have our little disagreements from time to time, but there's really no significant danger of either the Mexicans or the Canadians attempting to invade and destroy the United States
of America. Not as a governmental organization. You are correct.
Right. So, you know, we complain about things over here, but when you compare us with literally anywhere else in the world, give thanks.
Yeah, we're in a good place.
And I know a lot of people are going to be unhappy about the next thing I said, but one of the things I was contemplating was what had happened if the South had won the Civil War. Well, we would have a lot of things to be afraid of right now.
A lot of things.
But
because the South, even during the Civil War, this is something I realize we're talking really ancient history now, even during the Civil War, a large portion of the Southern states threatened to secede from the Confederacy.
Yes. Well, they weren't technically bound to the Confederacy because there's no Constitution.
Right. And the Confederacy had already just left another. We would have a lot of little countries.
We'd begin like Eastern Europe.
Right. That's not so good for the whole growth of the of there's no nation anymore.
And, of course,
so
Texas in the middle of this somewhere attempted to invade New Mexico. That was actually a little before that. But that's the kind of behavior that...
Well, New Mexico, which still, even though it had been ceded to Texas by Mexico, still considered itself part of Mexico. And when the Texas Ranger group all went up there to say, hey, we're established...
Well, the point is we've tried that. We've actually tried that multiple times, invading states around us. But including Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But why we would want Oklahoma,
I don't know. I don't know why we would want Oklahoma.
Let
those Okies have Oklahoma.
Right. Anyway, the point is that, and we, by the way, you know that there's a reenactment group for that? Used to be?
We've had a lot of by the ways. So let's go back to the way, I think.
Okay.
There's the way that we're talking about, it started with Russia. We talked about Ukraine a bit. We talked about Germany and Europe and Japan. There is actually a point that we're making here.
There is?
Yes. And the point that we're making here is that there is an island of stability in the world.
In der Welt. In der Welt.
And it is the United States. And the reason why our stock market recovered into the positive territory on Friday after what appears to be another invasion of Ukraine by Russia, which is just an ongoing invasion, but that was verifiable in a lot of ways, is because the United States is not in any threat. It doesn't have any major country threats going on. Now, we have terrorist threats, the thing that popped up all over the media, which I'm sure made the Islamic State very, very, very happy, is the picture of someone taking a picture of their cell phone, which had the Islamic State flag in front of the White House. Now, this is a big deal in that somebody with tendencies towards the Islamic State, that they like the Islamic State, was in front of the White House taking this picture, and this is a real threat. However...
You mean having a cell phone in front of the White House is a threat?
Right, well, it's sort of, in that this somebody that doesn't like us a lot is in a place at the center of our government. The problem with that, and there's a significant issue here, is that the president wasn't home at the moment. President was in Martha's Vineyard playing golf, and if the terrorists really wanted to do anything in this regard, they would just stake out all the golf courses.
Right.
That's not so. But the actually, threat level is actually kind of low. They're not organized very well. They could just pick up a newspaper and say, "Oh, he's not home right now."
Having been up to Martha's Vineyard and seen, talked to the people who talked about the security around the golf courses when the president plays up there.
Right.
You can't get within several miles.
There are
of
no
that
cell
golf
phones
course.
Around. If you have a cell phone, it's going to be. Particularly if your cell phone has access to a flag of the Islamic State.
Well, but actually, you're just not. Unless you live there permanently, you're actually not going to get within several miles of the golf course where
so
he plays.
I brought that up as a reference because a lot of people say we're in danger.
We are.
And there is danger out there, don't get me wrong, but as comparison to the Cold War when the danger was complete annihilation of all people on Earth versus targeted terrorist plots that seem to be, at this point...
Effervescent.
Effervescent.
That's my word for today. When
they are actually tried to be carried out in person, they, you know, there was a suicide bombing class being taught in the Islamic State.
Really?
Yes, and the teacher accidentally blew up the whole class. This happened this week as well.
And everybody got an A.
Everybody got a martyrdom, which is better than an A. They
got an MA.
Yeah, this is an area where I can believe in their cause. Because if they just skip all of the innocent deaths and just join martyrdom in class.
Wow.
Everybody can be happy. They can get martyrdom. We can stay alive. It's this good combination. That's a win-win.
That sounds like maybe we should encourage them to do that.
Now, what does this have to do with the economy when I'm talking about these threats?
I don't know, but it really sounds interesting.
Yeah, these threats that are on our radar when we're looking around. The big one is Russia. We talked about Russia quite a lot over the past bit. I'm not, at least, all that concerned with the fragmentation going on in the Middle East. While I recognize there's real tragedies happening there, because we are moving so fast towards energy independence, we are less and less threatened by idiotic actions in the Middle East. Now, we may be threatened by idiotic actions of our own police force in the United States, or our own population in the United States, or our own political movements in the United States. That's our only threat. And that's always been the threat of major powers, is fracturing in the inside. Well, I think we've got enough people that are forward thinkers and that are invested in our own economy that we're less likely to fragment at this point than almost at any other point in our history. Anyway, that was my whole statement for the beginning of the hour. I didn't consult with you before saying that.
That sounds like a winner to
me. I'm sure you have some things you want to talk about as well.
I don't know. I was actually really enjoying listening to you.
Well, I have been pleasantly surprised by one news outlet. And
okay.
I recognize that a lot of our listeners like Fox News. Fox News has a very clear bias, particularly when it comes to domestic issues, but also when it comes to foreign issues. Al Jazeera has a definite bias when it's the foreign issues, and not so definite when it comes to Al Jazeera America covering domestic stuff. That's actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Al Jazeera America was tear gassed by the county police in Missouri as the riots were going on. I don't know if you saw that happen, but there was a very definitely, clearly targeted, very obviously a media group with large tripod cameras and large lights, not surrounded, not even close to any mob. There's no mob in sight. They were taking pictures of the police, and the police launched a can of tear gas right into the midst. There's video of this. Drove up in an armored vehicle as the reporters ran away and started dismantling all of their reporting equipment. This is not a good thing. Anyway, Al Jazeera does cover domestic things very well, and that's not the one that I was very impressed with because I kind of expected that. Vice.com, if you can get through all of the absolute stupidity of their commentary on domestic stuff. And by absolute stupidity, I mean truly, in many ways, disgusting coverage of the vice in the United States. That's where the name came from. They cover drugs. They cover a lot of other things. If you can get through that and watch their coverage of the issues in Gaza, the issues in the Islamic State, Kurdistan, it's the best that's out there. It has surpassed the BBC in my mind, which is saying a huge amount. And they have no obvious agenda in their reporting. They're very careful in that the reporters in the Islamic State are going along with the Islamic State's press people, but they are so amateurish, the Islamic State's press people, that they're allowing them to film basically everything. And that means that we get to see what's really going on over there, which means that, you know, when the Syrian resistance, which is actually what the regime has left, is taken, the beheadings that take place there. And I'm bringing all of this up because keeping an eye on the rest of the world is imperative for our health as a nation. This is where my views differ from Rand and Ron Paul. I politically speaking, I think of myself much more as a libertarian. I tend to think that we need a small government and that individual personal rights are the main goal of a republic. But I believe that our existence is predicated on our interactions with the rest of the world. If we haven't learned that from the internet, we should have learned that from the nuclear age. We have to be aware of the rest of the world, because if one organization with the funding in the tens of millions can launch an attack on our country that kills 3,000 people, by that I mean Al-Qaeda, an organization the size of the Islamic State with at least $1 billion at this point from the banks that they've ransacked, from the oil revenue that they have, is a threat to us. The genocide is important. We need to stop that. But the actual threat to the United States is real, in that they are collecting large stockpiles of weapons, and they have stated on many occasions that they want to fly their flag over the White House. I don't want them to fly their flag over the White House. Just thought I should be clear and on the record on that.
Okay. Well, let us get on to the economics here just a moment.
Let's do that.
And during the last week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 0.66%, which is not a lot, until you think that if you multiply it times 52, it becomes a pretty good sized number, because we have 52 weeks in a year. The S&P 500 was up 1.22, roughly twice as much as the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which tells you something.
I don't know what?
Well,
something.
It tells you that smaller stocks did better than larger stocks, because the Dow Jones Industrial Average has 30 very large companies in it. The S&P 500 moves down towards the middle of the economic spectrum as far as the size of the companies are concerned. Now, this is probably more significant. 1 year is not a long time in the stock market, or you shouldn't really pay a lot of attention to one-year returns. But over the last 52 weeks, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 10.5%. The S&P 500 is up 18.07%. Why is that significant? Well, we've got an economy that is growing. Yes, it hits some bumps along the way like it did the first quarter, but with each revision, the first quarter's GDP, which theoretically dropped on an annualized basis about 2.9%, but they keep each successive report as they go back and revise with better data, shows that drop to be less and less, and it's a blip, and it's not of any significance at this point, apparently. Here's the good news. I follow some of the people who, at least in my opinion, this is Jeff speaking, who, at least in my opinion, have historically made accurate long-term calls with regard to market values and the economy. And there is a guy named Stephen Auth, who is the chief investment officer for equities at Federated. And he is not often heard from. He doesn't make a lot of big noise in the press. But in Barron's, they have an interview with him where he makes a very, very clear statement that is backed by hard facts rather than by emotions. And he says that the United States economy is poised to grow even faster, 3.5% to 4% into the next couple of years. I happen to agree with him, which is really weird.
That says a lot.
Yeah, I don't often, these guys who come out, particularly from the fund companies or whatever, generally have holes in their arguments because they're pushing something. But in this particular case, I think he's got it right. He says the S&P 500 should reach 2,500 in the next 18 months to 2 years, or about 30% above its current level. Well, now, one of the fascinating things to me is we basically agree 18 months from now, a fair valued S&P 500 will be 30% higher than it is today. Now, why do we agree? Because we run some really long-term trend lines on the way investments behave. Now, does that mean it's absolutely going to happen? No, because that's too short a period of time for a long-term forecast. But, and there's a lot of things could go wrong, and that's important to remember. It's also important to remember the things that could go wrong that we are paying close attention to, like Ukraine, are unlikely to be the thing that would bring the market down. Why? Well, because the markets have already factored in the risk of a war with Russia. And they've looked at Russia, and they've looked at NATO, and they've looked at the United States, and they have come to the conclusion that the Russians wouldn't last very long.
No, they wouldn't.
And another point I want to make about this issue in Ukraine, which caused the temporary drop on Friday. Ukraine's military and government is insignificant in size when compared with Russia.
Yes.
The Ukrainians apparently shelled, and there's enough evidence that we can say it probably happened, used their artillery, mind you, not anti-tank guns,
right,
to destroy a column of tanks and armored personnel carriers.
Or a part of the column.
Well, a significant portion of the column.
Right.
That was coming from Russia into Ukraine. The Russians certainly have the capability to use counter-battery fire against the Ukrainian artillery positions and take out those positions. But you mentioned that the Russians are denying the obvious here, which is a good sign.
Right.
A better sign is they chose not to take out the artillery that was killing Russian soldiers.
Right.
Now, why do we put all that together? What happens is when we look at what's happening in the economy of the United States – and in the markets, we have a tremendous pent-up cash position across the board in the United States. So we have the ability, companies have the ability to go out and expand their operations.
And they're putting it on hold for the moment.
They are putting it on hold, but they are going to take it off hold because they are already planning on how to expand their operations. Corporate profits are at record highs as a percentage of operations.
Correct.
It is at that point, believe it or not, when corporations expand.
Yeah.
Because they have more opportunity to make more profits someplace else. Now, have they been holding back? Yes. When they do, what happens? They take that cash. They start making loans, which raises interest rates. They start borrowing money. Then they also take their cash. They mix the two together, and they go build factories, and they buy other companies. And this causes a lot of other people to have jobs. And those other people who have jobs, we're already seeing that. They're already hiring people to do that. And we see what we've seen over the last couple of months is long-term capital positions that where they buy things for the long term going up.
Right. There's some one of the things that I look at regularly in any market cycle, and by cycle I mean think of a circle. You can break it easily down into four stages. And the four stages, one would be the bear market cycle, where part of the cycle where bond prices are dropping and equity prices are dropping. That's a big bear thing. That's actually called stage four. Stage one, there's four stages, so we're going around the circle starting from the upper left. Stage one is when both equity and bond prices are going up. Stage two is where equity prices are going up and bond prices are going down. That's towards the end of the bull market. Then stage three and four are the bear market. Well, we're still seeing stage one. What you said at the beginning there about the yield on the treasury note dropping. Well, that means the price on the treasuries went up. Bond prices are going up. Stock prices are going up. We're at the beginning stage of a bull market when we say that. That doesn't mean we're not going to see corrections. And we've been talking about this for a while, that the concept of bull markets climbing a wall of worry, try to find the good news out there on the market. There's a lot of it out there. It's just hidden. Most of the headlines are talking about how bad things are, which is a good thing. That's climbing the wall of worry.
Anyway, I love your logic. Anyway, we have actually, this is the Personal Wealth Coach. And we have commercials that we actually have to play during this hour so that KTEM can stay on the air. Now, they have nothing to do with our show, but they are commercials.
Well, they do have something to do with the show in that we...
Well, they occur during the show.
Well, and the... Yeah,
then they take time from the show.
Right.
And they pay for the electricity.
Yes.
Which keeps the air conditioner on, whether or not the transmitter works.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, and the telephone number is on the other side of these commercials, if you'd like to call in here to the Personal Wealth Coach, 773-1400 or...
1-866-597-1400.
And we'll be back after these apparently important words from KTEM sponsors.
Do you...
And we're back with more of the Mad Radio... I'm sorry. The Personal Wealth Coach... Radio show with Jeff and
Jake
McClure on this Saturday, August 16th. And we were actually out in Austin last night as a family, which is a pretty big chunk of people. And we were out, watched a really interesting movie and ate a very nice but very lengthy meal. And by the time we got back in here, it was today. And... As a result, my brain is camfoozled today. And so mad is probably pretty. Anyway, to go on about what Stephen Auth said. Oh, by the way, telephone number's in here, 773-1400
or 1-866-597-1400. We've only got about 10 minutes left this hour.
Did you hear I said 773-1400s?
Yeah.
I went back to the 1400s on that deal.
1400s.
Okay, yeah, it was expansion century. Hey, Stephen Auth, I love it when people agree with me. Stated in Barron's today that he believes we are still in the early stages of a secular bull market. Folks, I agree with him. Yeah, as I said earlier, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, but none of them seem like they're going to go wrong. Among other things, to get a major war, you have to have one of two things. You have to have a lot of people believing that the gradual acceleration of tensions could not possibly lead to a war. I've gone back into the beginning of the 20th century and read the commentaries in the newspapers, which were the equivalent of the internet at the time, equivalent of blogging and so on. And the commentaries in the newspapers and on the nascent radio system that was beginning to appear universally are that war is not possible, we don't need to worry about this, this will go away. Well, if you check the news out today, you will see there's a widespread belief that war is possible and we ought to be really, really afraid. The thing that we fear in world affairs is never a surprise and thereby never creates a shock. Let me say that again. If we fear it, we are aware of it. It's really hard to be surprised by something you're staring at and worrying about. And it's the surprises that give us shocks that turn into something evil or bad. The chances of what's going on in the Balkans turning into a major international war are very low. It would require Putin suddenly becoming suicidal. Now, this is an interesting point. The perception, according to Stratfor, in Russia, despite the high approval rating of the voters, the perception among the, it's not the Communist Party anymore, but the people who used to be the Communist Party leadership who really run things, is that this has been blown. this opportunity to take back Eastern Crimea is turning into a disaster that's going to hurt the economy and damage the ruling party's ability to stay in power. Now, the last time that happened, it was when Nikita Khrushchev confronted the United States over a little island, actually a big island, in the Caribbean called Cuba, by putting missiles in there and ultimately losing because he wasn't willing or capable of going into an all-out war with the United States. He was removed from power within a year, and somebody else was put in very quietly. And that's the way they do things in Russia. So I don't think there's a problem there. The other thing, by the way, that Stratfor came out with that I think is very important to recognize is that the nations as we know them in what we refer to as the Middle East are going to cease to exist. Lebanon doesn't really exist as a nation. It's a series of enclaves controlled by warlords. Syria is quickly deteriorating into a series of enclaves controlled by local groups, the warlords.
Lebanon, Hezbollah has a big chunk of...
Yeah, the Christians have their piece, and anyway...
Hezbollah, by the way, really dislikes the Islamic State.
Right.
Because they're funded by the Syrian regime, which is more Shia-based. It's
basically... Iraq, Syria, and that general area.
Iran.
Well, Iran not so much so because Iran has a pretty reasonable military and a pretty reasonable unity.
They're mostly Shia.
Yeah, so what we're going to see is Syria and Iraq, at a minimum, become a lot like Lebanon, where there's a lot of wars internally until they wear themselves out.
If you look at Somalia, you've got the same thing going there. You've got a lot of chunks of ground covered by different groups of people. The African Union troops are covering certain areas. The government-supported troops, which are really a different tribe, are in certain areas. And then there's the government area, and then there's the Islamic group, mm-hmm. which is mostly Sunni-based religion. It's not the Sunni... genetics.
From a strategic point of view, the United States will need to remain involved there because we still are partially dependent upon oil from that part of the world. For example, there's a bunch of Shia basically a lot of this breakdown is occurring along the Shia-Sunni line.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a lot of Shia who happen to live in and around the oil fields that Saudi Arabia owns. And the United States probably would be willing to do whatever is necessary to defend those because that's where we get a lot of our oil.
Now, on the other hand, Saudi Arabia has a very large Sunni population.
Yes.
And they are supporters of and funding. Their funding actually helped build the Islamic State, the funding from Qatar and from Saudi Arabia to fund the anti-Shia folks.
Yes.
Actually got funneled pretty quickly into the Islamic State. Now they're afraid of those people because they don't want them too strong.
Well, there's a pattern there. Pakistan funded the Taliban rebels or the Taliban extremists.
Right, and now the Taliban's mostly in Pakistan.
And now they're attacking Pakistan. There's this pattern that's appearing. And by the way, what Friedman at Stratfor is saying, and I happen to agree with him, is what will happen is that we'll eventually degenerate into exhaustion.
Right.
Where everybody's holding a little warlord enclave, including al-Assad. He'll have his enclave, and somebody else will have their enclave. Do we need to be concerned about that? Well, the United States will definitely take action to protect its oil interests. We've said that before, and we'll probably say it again.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we need to obviously be concerned about is these guys would love to make a publicity strike at the United States. And fortunately, because of 9/11, we have our guard up.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in what, again, we refer to as the Middle East and they refer to as Southwest Asia, who are very, very much interested in not getting the United States ticked off again.
Yeah.
They're going to cooperate with us.
The Islamic State has actually just recognized some things in that. Generally speaking, they have not faced directly airstrikes from the United States to this point. Suddenly, their advance, which seemed implacable, it seemed like it was unstoppable. They were moving into the Kurdish-held areas. They were moving south towards Baghdad.
You got to love those implacable advances.
And we had some airstrikes, and the airstrikes were taking out all of their vehicles. And
They
slowed down. They're walking instead of riding, and that makes it a lot harder when they show up walking through the desert to fight
and all the artillery
people that have artillery and weapons.
Yeah, and since when every time they use their artillery, there's a F-15 comes along and smacks it out of existence.
Right.
That makes them less likely to use artillery.
Yeah, so it's
there's a correlation there.
Yeah, and this is something that you were mentioning, Ukraine and how the Russians weren't doing this. They don't have the same kind of capabilities that we do, which is part of the reason why our stock market is not acting like the Russian stock market when there's implications of invasion of Ukraine, is because our military makes their military look, even their best military, look pretty bad because they don't have the resources to spend $1 million on a missile.
Casually.
They can spend $1 million on a missile if it's intended for intercontinental travel. We spend $1 million on a missile that's intended to blow up a house with 8 people in it.
And we're about out of time for this hour.
Yes, we are. So until next hour, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach. If you'd like to contact us off the air, you can reach our voicemail during the weekend locally at
947-1111.
You can reach that same voicemail at toll-free 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. Or you can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com. You can listen to podcasts. You can contact us through there, and you can look at our ugly mugs. Basically, you can look at our entire philosophy. If you haven't gotten enough of listening to us on the air, you can listen to our podcast.
So, in the beginning was the word.
News Radio 1400 KTEM. Serving Central Texas. KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.